Should we rethink reskilling on the continent? From over 1,400 cities and 140 countries, we bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pulse on everything business in Africa. I am Ritha Dong. For more, follow us on Twitter at the K Financial News, and you can find me at Ritha Dong. Your main story is brought to you by BK Capital, Rwanda's investment powerhouse. Elevate your franc investments with the Aguka Unit Trust Fund, offering impressive returns of up to 10.4%. Dive deeper into the world of this and more opportunities at www.bkcapital.rw. As a quarter of jobs are expected to change in the next 5 years, millions of people will need to move between declining and growing jobs. In this episode, we look at the African environment and if it's preparing to facilitate reskilling, upskilling, and job transitions. Aisha Rimi, Chief Executive Officer at Nigeria's Investment Promotion Commission, speaks to Nigeria's Skills Accelerator Program.
And Nigeria is the only country in Africa that actually has a Skills Accelerator Program. So the government has set up what is called a National Industrial Revitalization Program. And under that, there's a subcommittee that's supposed to deal with skills acceleration. So, of course, in doing that, there's no point reinventing the wheel. This has been done world over. We're hoping to collaborate with WEF, with private sector, to pick up on those lessons that have been applied across the world and to apply them in Nigeria. When we now look at investment or investors that are in country, we're trying to work with them to develop programs that actually train people on the jobs and also to perhaps look into their CSR programs. And Ashish, I think, just mentioned a program that they're doing in Nigeria, whereby we can have them set up programs that train up or skill up Nigerians, young Nigerians, to be able to future-proof their jobs, essentially, and prepare them for the future. We, at the Investment Promotion Commission, we are responsible also for working with investors to provide incentives. And as we now review, we're going into our review, which hasn't happened in probably about 8 years, we're going into a review of those industries and those areas that qualify for incentives. And this is one of the things that we're looking at very closely, how we could add education, skilling programs. And I should say there's also a national technology acquisition program that investors are required to sign up to, whereby in certain industries, they're required at some point to train up and prepare Nigerians to be able to take over those jobs that ordinarily would go to foreigners.
Is there a need for a rethink of the qualification and certification systems in Africa?
So, everyone knows the numbers about Nigeria. There's 200 odd million people. So, I mean, the potential is that we have 65%, I think, under the age of 35. Not everyone is going to be able to go to university, get a college degree or whatever. So one of the ideas is to focus on vocational training. And of course, this comes with revamping the curriculum, working with the Ministry of Education, with private sector, and to get these national qualification system in place. Like I said earlier, we're working with, certainly since I've stepped into this role, we're working with investors in the country to see how they can support these programs, because government just does not, with the greatest intention in the world, it can't move as quickly. It's not as nimble as it would like to be. You have budgetary concerns and all of that. So working with private sector, of course, incentivizing them and working with the education board. So another program which the government has started up is a Skill Up Artisans program. Because, and I think the plan is to skill up about 20 million over the next couple of years and get them to be actually certified so that they can use these skills across not just Nigeria, but now even more across the continent, as we now have the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement, which is going to allow for easier movement of goods, services, people, you know, all of that. There's also something which is called the National Talent Export Program. Mm. That was launched by this government on the back, on the sidelines of UNGA last year. And with that, again, there's a training program in place to skill up or reskill Nigerians, because we found that, you know, the talent, like you said, was there and available, but the opportunities were not. So their plans to work with governments, and I think Germany and the UAE have shown interest in acquiring some of these skills. So that's another thing that's in place.
And a quick look at the markets. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. The Johannesburg Stock Exchange or Share Index was slightly higher, around 73,920 on Wednesday, mainly boosted by industrials, financials and telecommunication companies. Meanwhile, investors were digesting the outcome of the South African Reserve Bank's latest policy meeting. Staying with South Africa, the South African rand appreciated slightly to its 18.89 per US dollar, up from an over two-week low of 19 per US dollar scaled on March 22nd amid expectations that interest rates will stay higher for longer. The South African Reserve Bank kept interest rates at 15-year high, in line with market estimates due to elevated inflation risks. And a quick trip around Africa, the Bank of Tanzania will begin selling US dollars to commercial banks to tackle shortages that have plagued the country since 2022. This is according to a statement from the bank. Traditionally, the central bank buys dollars, but with this announcement, it has changed tactics to sell dollars and looks forward to boosting market liquidity. The bank hopes to push individuals and businesses hoarding dollars to eliminate a parallel market, which has worsened the dollar crisis in the East African country. In 2023, the Bank of Tanzania reported a drop in foreign exchange reserves, decreasing from $5.5 billion in May of 2022 to $4.9 billion in May of 2023. However, the bank maintained the situation was not dire. The bank noted that this decline was attributed to various global factors such as the COVID-19 pandemic, the Russia-Ukraine conflict, increased US interest rates, and climate change. These global challenges have disrupted supply chains, leading to higher commodity prices worldwide. As a result, more US dollars are needed to import the same volume of goods as previously. In February of 2024, the Bank of Tanzania launched a new series of treasury bond auctions to manage domestic debt and enhance money supply amid foreign currency shortages. The bank reintroduced treasury bonds with maturities of 10, 15, 20, and 25 years by the close of the 2023-2024 financial year. Tanzania is among several African nations struggling with foreign currency shortages, along Kenya, Egypt, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Ghana, and Zambia. Given the dollar's predominant role in global transactions, its countries heavily depend on it to settle foreign debt and pay for essential goods and services. The Central Bank of Mozambique slashed its key MIMO interest rate by 75 basis points to 15.75% during its regular meeting on March 27, 2024. It marked the second consecutive rate cut, bringing borrowing costs to their lowest since August of 2022. Policymakers said the decision was based on favorable projections, adding that it was consistent with its goal of consolidating inflation in single digits in the medium term. The South African Reserve Bank unanimously decided to maintain its key repo rate at 8.25% on March 27, 2024, marking the fifth consecutive meeting at 2009 highs, as expected. Policymakers highlighted that, on balance, risks to the inflation outlook were skewed to the upside. Headline inflation accelerated for the second consecutive month, reaching 5.6% in February, up from January's 5.3%, nearing the upper limit of the central bank's target range of 3 to 6%. Forecasts now indicate that inflation is expected to reach the midpoint of its target range only by the end of 2025, later than previously predicted, as it was initially expected to occur by the middle of the year. The inflation projection for this year was slightly revised upward to 5.1% compared to January's estimation of 5%. For 2025, it remained unchanged at 4.6%. Regarding economic activity, the South African Reserve Bank maintained its projections at 1.2% for 2024, but revised them upward to 1.4% for 2025, up from 1.3% earlier. Kenya Airways has cut its net loss for the year ended December 31st of 2023. The national carrier recorded the first operating profit in nearly 7 years on the back of high revenues after passenger traffic grew by 35% year-on-year. KQ listed on the Nairobi Securities Exchange reported a net loss of $171.9 million, down 47%, even though its revenues improved by 53% to $1.35 billion. The loss-making airline flew 5 million passengers in 2023, about 36% of Ethiopian Airlines passenger traffic in 2022-2023 financial year. ET is the carrier's main competitor in the region. KQ has been in the red since 2012, promised investors that they were looking to return to profitability for the first time in more than a decade. Accumulated losses over the years have seen Kenya's flagship carrier dip into negative equity, making it technically insolvent, with the government pumping billions in bailouts last year. The company tapped US advisory firm CBIR Consulting to help it restructure the business and develop a revival plan to wean it off state bailouts that have cost Kenyan taxpayers billions. The carrier is currently in the process of hiring another consultant to help find an equity investor amid a new push to revive the business. Thank you for always waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of the K Financial. If you have suggestions or you just want to check out more stories, visit the website, that's thekfinancial.com, and don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at the K Financial, and you can find me at Withadom.